Our second scripture reading is from Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, in our Pew Bibles in the New Testament on page 3. The Temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "You are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him.
It's been some years now since we've been introduced to that familiar tagline. I think of it as a vision, continuing the work of Jesus, peacefully, simply, together. But you know there's a missing phrase to that, do you not? For when it was adopted, it included the phrase, another way of living, continuing the work of Jesus, peacefully, simply, together. Today's scriptures are all about another way of living. It is a life formed by the Spirit. That is what's happening to Jesus. He's being formed by the Spirit. He's being led by the Spirit. And not just a life demand being legalistic, do this, do that, such as the Pharisees, or in our more recent history, the Puritans have demanded. Carl Bowman, a Church of the Brethren sociologist on a blog that I was exploring recently, said this about another way of living. It's a choice we make at baptism. You remember the choice? Those of us here at our baptism? It's a choice to be formed and shaped and guided by another way of thinking, informed by the living Christ. Now, I would confess to you, when I was baptized at about the age of 12, I didn't know anything, really, about what it meant to follow Jesus. But I knew this. I knew that I was stepping into the water of a most important decision of my life. I knew that each dunking was reminding me that I belonged to someone else than just to me. And I knew by the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit was coming to me, that I was committing to live my life by another way. It has taken a lifetime of learning, a village of supportive Christians, a grace of forgiving people for the mistakes I have made, and the recommitment of my life over and over again at Love Feast and Communion. And I'm still learning what it means to follow Jesus and to live another way. Reading Matthew 4 this morning really is a challenge to us because we think of that as Jesus' time. But it really is our time with Jesus. He is facing the battle of the commitment that was put upon him. He went down into the baptistry. He stepped out of the baptistry. And immediately he was led by the Spirit into a wilderness occasion, a time of searching and exploring and trying to understand what it meant to be the Messiah, the Savior, the one who was given life by God as the Son of God. And I think was so aptly pointed out in our children's story this morning. The challenge that Jesus faced is the tension between that Spirit and being the Son of God, that child of God, and that of the one who stands over against the will of God and is only defeated by the living presence of God. So let's explore the drama a little more in depth. One important thing to note, it is not just being tempted to do wrong. That's kind of what we are drawn into quickly to note. But what we're noting in this text, this is about loyalty. Whom will we serve? Will we choose to walk by another way? 40 days Jesus spent a time of fasting, a time of praying, a time of listening to the holy will and aligning himself with that holy will. So wouldn't we be famished too? Would we not, if we'd not taken in any food, would we not look at the stones of the desert floor and see with our eyes bread? And knowing that I had the power within me to turn those stones into bread, wouldn't I not want to do that? After all, doesn't God want us to be fed? Doesn't God want us to meet our human needs as we journey along? But Jesus had gained a strength and a wisdom that this text shares with us. For his response to the tempter, the one standing over against the will of God, is one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. To whom are we loyal? Are we committed to being followers of Jesus Christ? Jesus' understanding of loyalty to God in this first temptation has to do with something much more than an empty stomach needing to be fed. It has to do with respect and the valuing of life, God's gift to us. Loyalty to God means that we live our life in such a way that we show God alive, loving one's neighbor, being peaceful in our actions, respecting one another, caring about our neighbor's well-being, and being good caretakers or good stewards of the created order that God has blessed us with. This is giving flesh to the Word of God. This is the something more than just feeding our empty stomachs. This does not deny us food for our hunger, but opens us to life is more than just about self-preservation. Not all choose to live this way. Madison Avenue wins out with some. And then there's those like the young man so tragically 2 weeks ago, whose anger and revenge swelled up inside of him after a period of long time, probably family history as well as personal experience. And he took a gun, and he took a camera, and he killed 2 wonderful young people whose life was still before them. He was into himself. In other words, self-preservation, trying to find out a way to survive his anger and his desire for blood, revenge. And he never found it. Sisters and brothers, we're invited by our Creator and Savior to live another way, to live with the Spirit and to learn to live as children of God, peacefully with God and with each other. So that was one test. But the tests get more difficult. The second test has to do with how Jesus was to live with the God-created life. If God was for him, who could be against him? The one who stands over against the will of God is asking Jesus to test that reality, to allow himself to be placed on the top of the pinnacle of the temple, and to throw himself down with the awareness that he knew God would save him. In other words, the tempter is saying, let's see what this God is really like. It's hard to imagine Jesus would go through all this, but he's doing it for us. Because these are similar temptations to our own life faith journey. I still remember the day I tested God on this one. I was so, so wrong. And God was so, so right. And God gave me a sense of purpose and fulfillment and understanding about the healing of my eye, which I told you some time back about, that has made a difference in how I've lived my life from that day forth. But could this also have been preparing Jesus for the fact he was going to hang on a cross? And he knew he could take himself from that cross, throw himself down in front of those who were persecuting, spitting, jawing against him, and walk away from it all. Could this have been his preparation for his death that would then lead to a resurrection, freeing him? Jesus is firm in his commitment. He confronted the tempter, do not put the Lord your God to the test. If we are really children of God, God is on our side. That's a promise. If we are for God, God is for us. And nothing can separate us from God's love and care and willing to help us through each day's struggle. William Barclay, in the study, or Daily Bible Study Series, writes, if faith cannot believe without sensations, it is not really faith. It is doubt looking for proof and looking in the wrong place. Another way of living, simply trusting that God is promised by the Spirit will give us life each step along the way, even unto our death. Now, the final test is one of power. The tempter is showing Jesus the whole world, and we've got the whole world out there before us. And he's saying the riches, domination of people, place in society, power to do whatever you wanted to do is all yours for the taking. For us today, it might be expressed in what is progressively being called narcissistic living. Buy and get whatever will fill the empty spaces of your life. Sexual acting out. Facing age by trying to make ourselves look younger. There's days when I look in the mirror, that's getting very, very tempting. The temptation of our own loyalty. But Jesus' reaction? Away with you, Satan. Get out of here. Get behind me. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Why do we exist as a congregation? Is it to show off our salvation? Renowned theologian Howard Snyder offers this perspective. Kingdom people, and I would add in light of today's first scripture, children of God, seek first the kingdom of God and its justice. Church people often just put the church work above concerns for justice, mercy, and truth. Now, let me be very careful here. I'm not suggesting the work of the church is wrong. But I am challenging us to think about how much time and energy keeps this place going, keeps us going as a church, versus investing time and energy in striving for justice, mercy, and truth in the community that surrounds us. It is worshiping God and only Him when you are given the opportunity to express on September 20th. Anybody heard about September 20th? It's a day of prayer. It's a day of service. Rather than get for oneself, we're being invited to give out, give of our time and our talent and our resources for people of this community. Providing emergency financial assistance, working with Maddie's Blanket, area assisted living facilities, alternative house, shelter house. You know what all these have in common? They're serving the marginalized people of this community. I had the privilege of visiting one of these organizations with Carl Wilkerson, who works very closely with us through the Action Reflection Team and has helped us to connect to CHO, or Christians Helping One Another. It's an all-volunteer organization, very impressive organization, who helps with emergency financial assistance, emergency food aid, clothing, furniture, and Meals on Wheels. Carl recently shared with me that CHO is always needing volunteers, people with faith and deep concern for those who are marginalized. Letty Russell, in a book entitled The Church in the Round, shared a vision of partnership where people are gathered around a table, hospitably welcomed to their place at the table, but a place that is not a position of power, but a place where everyone is welcome, wanted, and valued. A round table where together the church can decide how to participate with God's action, bringing justice and healing to a world in crisis. Now I want to put a challenge out there, and unfortunately it's not a Sunday I'm going to be here or I'd be with you in the challenge. But what would happen to this church and what would happen to this community if 50% of this gathered body would take this day of prayer, day of service seriously? What would happen? Would we discover something about another way of living? Would we discover something about sharing power and being in partnership with people that are just like you and me? They just happen to be facing a less fortunate moment in their life. Does it make a difference to live another way? The Christ way? Paul believed so. And it was his last letter, and it was his great wisdom. And he opened the 8th chapter with these very clear understandings. There is no condemnation, no judgment for those who are in Christ. We are free, we are loved, we are forgiven, and we have been saved from ourselves and adopted to be God's children, giving us the words, Abba, Father. The intimacy of those words are what invites us into the presence of the Most Holy, not to be separated by the distancing of one holier, more powerful, for none could be more holy nor more powerful than God, but a God who took on human flesh and came to dwell among us to bring us truth, to offer us grace to help us continue the work of Jesus peacefully, simply, together. Thanks be to God. Amen.